This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
So Scott was on my podcast yesterday. It's good stuff, especially, and I'll tell you about it at the end of the clip that I'm going to play for you, about a 20-minute clip of him talking about Buzz Williams and talking about sort of how it came about, etc. I would urge you to listen to the podcast, last 12 minutes of it, where he actually talks about Kevin Willard calling him on Tuesday night. Kevin wasn't happy with the way Scott had described him, me and others had described the exit. You'll hear it if you go listen to it on the podcast. But first, I wanted to play this part of Scott, who knows, look, I've mentioned this before. For whatever reason, I mean, he's been one of my best friends for 35 years. But man, coaches love Scott. In college football and college basketball. So he knows a lot of these people, talks to a lot of these people. So I started off by asking him just overall, what do you think Maryland got with Buzz Williams?
I got text after text yesterday, Kevin, from coaches who competed against him, names people know, talking about Buzz. No one's going to outwork this guy. Been friends with him for years. He's quirky. He's different. He's gonna win. Like that's one I just read. Buzz is a different kind of cat. His manner of speaking is almost sort of like a pastor, and he's passionate. He pours himself into the work. He's won everywhere he's been. All right. One at Marquette in the Big East, one at Virginia Tech in the ACC, one at A&M in the SEC. And I think if you're concerned, you say, well, it's kind of it's been a fast burn rate, and he goes to the next place quickly. And I mentioned on SportsCenter last night when I discussed it, I spoke to Terp fans about, like, hey, listen, this guy's won everywhere he's been. You should know that first. And I said, if I could speak to Buzz, I'd say, hey, man, you've had a rep for a guy looking for a new hill to climb when you're still climbing the hill you're on. And I would just invite you to stop climbing and settle down here and, you know, let Terp fans get behind you and climb together. Because he's been a winner, and he comes with really, 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 really solid credentials from all those that compete against him. So, if he wins, that's all that matters. You know, you talk about winning the press conference, but I don't give a bleep about that. I truly don't. If the guy wins games next January and February, and you go into March on a line somewhere, that's all anyone gives a crap about. So I don't know. I'm rambling at the moment.
Stylistically, is there a coach that you would compare him to?
It's a great question. I mean, I think it's Izzo-y in the fact that they're going to defend and rebound. I think they might have led the nation in offensive rebounds this year. Now, part of that was they didn't shoot well.
Right.
But they rebound the hell out of the ball, and they defend. I mean, it's physical and, you know, defend and board. And so, I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, Izzo's as high a praise, I think, as you can give. This is a guy that wins, you know, the league this year and has been in the Final Four a ton and all the rest. But I think it's along those lines. I don't think fans get fired up about the idea of grinded out 63-58 games. So I hope it's not that. But I also think after the way it ended, where Maryland couldn't get a rebound against Michigan, Colorado State, or Florida, if you told me, all right, well, they're going to board you, they're going to really get after the rebounding portion of the game, I'm like, all right, I'll take that. So I don't know. I think that's the first thought I have.
You know, what's funny is that the game in which they got eliminated, the Michigan game,
they got out-rebounded.
They gave up a bunch of offensive rebounds, and we went through that, you know, the
week. Was it 43-17? Because that's what it was.
47-18, I think, was what it was with us. But, no, it was not that.
Oh, wow.
He essentially, after the game, said, you know, for us to win, we've got to rebound better, and we didn't rebound well enough. I think you nailed it. Grinding, tough defense, but at times offensively challenged. And you know what? We lived through that during at least the first portion of the Turgeon era, you know, with the, you know, exceptions of, you know, the Mello team and certainly the team in 2020. But we had a lot of those teams that won more than they lost. I would ask you, and then I'll answer it, do you care how you win?
No, it'd be fun if winning didn't feel excruciating. Right? I mean, if we're just being honest, right? If you... Like that's what was so fun about so much of what this team this year did was they just made shots, and it's fun to see the ball go in the bucket. Now, if you have one more than the other team, obviously, yay. But if the process of the 40 minutes of game time and 2 hours of real time are just this excruciating exercise, that's not a ton of fun. So I guess I am saying I kind of care. I'd rather win while playing more higher scoring up tempo. But I think that's probably a common refrain. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, this year was certainly a lot easier than last year. But in some ways, I don't care how they win, and I enjoyed some of the tough, grinded out, you know, teams of, you know, the mid-teens, late teens, early 20s. I mean, the year after 2020, when he had lost all those guys and they went back to the tournament and, you know, beat UConn before losing to Bama, I mean, that was a tough, you know, grinded out team, and they won, and, you know, I felt like it was an overachieving season. So maybe it's more or less, I like it when I feel like they're getting the most out of what they have. But no, I'd rather see shots go in. But one of the reasons I asked you that is, and we haven't even talked a lot about this specifically, the program has become, for the lack of a better description, more bandwagon-y in terms of the support. It's just the nature of how the market's changed. And, you know, you and I both probably think the move to the Big Ten has something to do with that. Not a lot of March success. You know, I wonder, from a business standpoint, what's more important, to have a team going into a season that's perceived to be great so that you can really generate some excitement and fill the arena up and be highly ranked, even if you end up, you know, with a second round exit in March? Or this year, nobody thought we were any good until, you know, they got on a roll after the Big Ten 1-3 start, when everybody wanted Willard fired, and it came very late in the season. You know, you'd like to have both, but it's really important, I don't know, from my standpoint, in looking at trying to get people to be more into Maryland basketball, that off seasons into regular seasons look more like they have, you know, when the team was filling up the arena each night. And we haven't had a lot of those seasons recently.
No, I think it needs to be the former more than the latter. I think you need to kind of have, maybe it's an apropos way to put it, you need to have buzz going into the season. And that's going to be hard to do anymore. I mean, look at this year. People didn't know who Jacoby Gillespie was.
Right.
Rodney Rice hadn't played because he'd been injured. Derek Queen was exciting because it was a local guy that stayed home, and he was five stars. But that, like, what five? Like, the McDonald's All-American game used to be a thing. It was on last night, and I don't know how much people are invested in that. So a high school guy that comes in with all that, you know, acclaim that only does so much. This season, Kevin, I mean, and I was super vocal about it on social media, on the podcast I do with Steve, just imploring people, get out and support, because you say it's a bandwagon town. I agree, but it's the bandwagon's slow to get filled up in College Park. There were a couple of really good nights there. You know, the Michigan State game, most notably, that building felt like a great building, and it was. But I think you need to kind of get people on board ahead of time and sort of start the process of getting the bandwagon filled rather than having it happen mid-season. And, you know, they did lose some games, excruciating, like, close losses, and it prevented them from having maybe even a higher seed than they could have had. But, I mean, as it is, they ended up, like, ranked, like, 11th, I want to say, in the regular season. And,
right.
And it still didn't feel like the building was, you know, as great as it could be. And there's a million reasons for that. You know, there's attrition over time, and it happened to the Commanders, and there's a lot of things. But I think you need to start with it rather than try to build it, because it's hard to get it filled.
Yeah, I think your point's a good one too, because it's really hard to create that buzz when you don't have any clue as to what your team's going to look like, and it changes so much year to year, and it's so
every year for every team.
Yeah,
I hate it.
I hate it too. You know, but I still think it's possible, but somehow you got to go into these seasons ranked top 10 in the country. You know, the last years where they had sold out arenas before the season started were some of those mellow years in Diamond Stone when they were preseason number 2 or number 3.
Sure.
And, you know, they came back the following year, preseason number 9 or whatever, and you had filled up buildings, even though ultimately you didn't go far enough in March.
Right, even more so now, I guess I should say, like, those preseason rankings are just complete guesses.
True.
I mean, North Carolina was preseason top 10.
Yeah.
They didn't finish the season ranked. And, like, should they have been in, should they have not been in? I don't know. No need to argue it, but they weren't very good. At least they didn't win games. Kansas started the season number 1. They were 7th seed. They didn't win a tournament game. I mean, you're guessing as to, are these guys any good? I mean, sometimes you're going to guess right, like Duke's really highly rated. Well, they're really good. But you just don't know from year to year because there's so much turnover. And, you know, as it is right now, you know, the line last year when Calipari got introduced at Arkansas, and he said, well, I met the players. There are no players because he didn't have a team. And, I mean, Buzz is I guess, in the sort of the same situation now.
I looked at just the last couple of years. It looks like he schedules in the non-conference aggressively. This past year, they played Ohio State. They played Oregon. I mean, they played 3 Big Ten teams. Oh, 4 of them. They played Purdue as well.
Purdue also, yeah.
Yeah, last year they had Houston. They had UVA. They had Ohio State. I mean, I think that can be a big part of getting some early buzz and some early crowds, too. Because, you know, go back for us to December, Marquette was actually, you know, a decent crowd.
Yeah, no, that was a good building. It was a Friday night, you know. I mean, you and I, we laugh about it, but it's the reality. I mean, that was like a Friday 8 o'clock game, so it was kind of the sweet spot where you didn't have to deal with the Beltway at rush hour and all the BS that we, you know, are the realities of living in this area. But yeah, I think scheduling aggressively would be good. And obviously, winning is the recipe and always has been.
So why do you think it's been, you know, high burnout, you know, short kind of expiration date on his 3 previous stints?
I think there's an intensity to him. There's this work ethic, this, you know, relentless sort of drive to try to be excellent. And then again, there's the just eccentricities, and he's a different kind of cat. And, you know, I think it is interesting at Virginia Tech. Well, no doubt football is king at A&M, even more so, although they've got dough for days and, you know, they may take a big fat swing at Chris Beard. But then that would just turn into an arms race between them and Ole Miss. But, and then obviously at Marquette, you don't have football. So that's a hooped school. But I would be guessing if I said I don't know him well enough. Buzz and I, just transparency, like, we've we've texted back and forth for years. He's a clothes guy. He's always been interested in my whole pocket square tie thing. So we bonded over that many years ago. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That's a true thing.
Like, yeah.
You love your pocket squares.
Like, they always look sharp.
I've worn them forever.
Yes, you have.
Long before it was a thing, I've always done it. And so I've known him for years, and I've always gotten on with him. But I also know, like, Buzz is one of one. So what were the reasons why you look for a different place? I mean, at A&M, you know, maybe he felt some of the same frustrations there that Kevin did. I'm completely speculating, but perhaps it's that. And, you know, maybe he benefits now from arriving at Maryland on the tail end of what, you know, Kevin was asking for, which was a bit more support. And, you know, ironically, it came after the fact, but I know some folks that kicked some significant contributions into, you know, the NIL fund, so there'll be more for Buzz to spend. But I don't know. I don't know, I guess, is a really long-winded answer as to why that happened. But you would hope, after a guy left after 3 years the way he did, that you know, Buzz could settle in here and make it home and win, and everybody will be like, hooray.
You know, over the years, I've learned from, you know, not only you, but other people about how, as much as the outside world viewed Maryland as a big-time basketball first school and a top 10-ish, top 15-ish job, there were inherent issues for multiple coaches in a row. On, you know, late last week, and I think you and I talked about this, I know we have, I suggested that maybe the, you know, chaos of the last week and a half, 2 weeks, may ironically result in a job for the next guy that's much better than the previous guys, which would be Kevin, Mark, and even Kerry to a certain extent. Do you think that there's truth in that?
I'll start by not answering it, but saying what I hope for, and I really hope so. It has to. This has to be a reckoning for Maryland to ask itself, well, let's see. Mark Turgeon decided in early December, I'm done. And let's face it, you and I know what that was about. It was, he felt like Damon didn't have his back and was going to fire him at the end of the year anyway, and he was done. And that was an AD-related thing. And in this case, you know, Kevin clearly had issues with that and what the perceived shortcomings and support, and it was related to the exact same thing. And so this is an opportunity for Dr. Pines and everyone in College Park to rather than lash out and be angry at what happened, look inward and say, all right, how can we be better? Because I think everyone understands, and if they don't, they need to, that they need to do better. And so this search for an athletic director is imperative to get that right. And you hear a word used a lot anymore when coaches are introduced to the place, and they talk about alignment. And what they're talking about is president, athletic director, fan base, coach, boosters. Are we aligned? And it seems that what this most recent episode has brought to the light for the public to consume is that there's a lack of alignment or a perception of everybody kind of guarding their space on the block. And that's, you know, that I think would become pretty exhausting. And so this has to be the time that Maryland's athletic department gets its self-aligned and does a great job finding a great candidate that wants to do all the things that, or use all the resources that are available as a result of being in the Big Ten to make Maryland, you know, great across the board and athletically.
Before I get to my, you know, slight disappointment that we didn't think and swing big, at the same time, this was a really difficult situation with a very short time frame. So
borderline impossible. Borderline impossible, Kevin.
So that goes into my reaction to the hire. I want you to describe the challenge and then to land on a guy with this resume.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the challenge, you have a coach that leaves in the manner in which he does. you have an athletic director who precedes the coach in leaving, which is its own, I mean, Damon manages to use the cover of Kevin to sort of sneak out the door and doesn't get any ire or anything, but like, okay, that was a fun trick. And so you have no athletic director. You have a coach that leaves. You have this deadline coming about agreements as it relates to spending this NIL money that has been collected, and you need someone on the case because the portal's open, and if you don't have a coach and everyone leaves, you're doomed. And so, I mean, there's only so much I'm comfortable discussing, but I know a lot of people. I know all the agents that matter that have all the coaches that matter. I know a lot of the coaches. I know our president. I know our boosters. I know I'm involved in a sense that I'm trying to just say, listen, here are some people that I believe you should speak to. Here's some people that are open to having conversations, but I'm not in the room, and it's not my job to be in the room. But I'm also conflicted because I care so damn much, and I don't want to just stand back and watch the ride without trying to get the hand on the wheel if it's helpful to direct, not direct it to a hire other than just direct it to a conversation that could find out if it could lead to a hire. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, I think it makes sense for everybody listening, yes.
Okay, so I find myself in this really weird place where it's because of the job I've had for all these years, you know these people. And it's like, I'm not trying to tamper with their lives, but you can listen to the agent. Look, you can clearly see our situation. I realize we don't have an athletic director. There's one coach I have who's a buddy. I say a buddy. Someone I know well. We text throughout the season, and it's like, hey, man, you want a really good job? And, we know each other well enough for him to say, coaches like to know who their athletic director is going to be. And I said, yeah, I get that, but I'll sort it out for you. You know, I mean, we're joking, but I'm not. Like, because if he said, yeah, man, Maryland's a great job, which, by the way, he did. He said, of course, it's a wonderful job. But, like, from the outside looking in, there's a certain amount of like, whoa, that seems a little radioactive, right? There are things about Maryland that make it appealing, but the circumstance at the moment made it really, I think, kind of tricky. So it was an incredibly unusual and challenging thing to try to get right. And again, I'm not in the room as these conversations are going. I believe Maryland said that they analyzed like 30 different candidates. I believe that's what they said. And so I know a lot of names had been provided. I mean, some that I know a lot of our fans are interested in like, for just name the names, like a guy like Luke Murray at UConn, who's never coached a game. That would seem to be that's a little bit of a, maybe it's a non-starter. But in the same breath, you say, well, everyone's looking for the next Todd Golden, who had all these, sort of advanced ways of looking at offense and did a lot of great things. And 3 years later, he's in the title game. But he had been a head coach. He had been a head coach at San Francisco.
He's in the Final Four. He's not in the title game yet.
Did I say title game? I meant Final Four. Excuse me.
He's the Florida coach, for those that don't know, Todd Golden.
My mistake.
Sorry.
Then you have someone like Tony Skinn, another guy who I know well, who I know is passionate about Maryland basketball and coached at Maryland, did a wonderful job at George Mason. Like that, there's a candidate that you can consider. And then so it's like there's all these different people that are in the mix. And then you have, and I'll just say this, like I know Chris Beard, and I understand what happened at Texas, and I also understand that the respect that he has within the coaching community among his peers, they're saying that guy right there, if you could talk to that guy, you couldn't get a better coach than Chris Beard. And so, that's a swing that I think a lot of Maryland fans, and I would raise my hand and say, I'd love to see you take a swing just at a conversation and just try to vet out what happened there. I mean, where are you now? To take the coaching out of it, but then is this a job that's appealing? I don't even know if you have the money to get down that road as it relates to him because, they've got a lot of money in the SEC. But that conversation between those two parties, I don't believe happened. But yeah. You know, they had to try to put they had to put together a list, and it would have been like speed dating, but not speed dating to say, hey, you want to go out to you want to go to Uncle Julio's Thursday. It's hey, you want to go out and you want to get married on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, well, literally, that's the situation you're in.
That was Scott from my podcast yesterday. And again, if you want to listen to him describe a phone call that he had with Kevin Willard, it was just the final 12 minutes of my podcast, thekevinsheehanshow.com, which you can listen to at thekevinsheehanshow.com website. All right, Trevor Sikkema to talk draft next.